A Time of Trumpets, Part 7. Jesus, let the gathering be unto him. Book of Hebrews, 12th chapter, verses 22 through 29. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. It's all about Jesus. He is the one supreme Lord and King that the Father has given all things unto. At his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess he is Lord. He is the anointed one, made both Lord and Christ, from whom all blessings flow. Without him, there is no salvation, nor is there any conciliation. It is only because of his willingness to become the ultimate sacrifice in order to bring all humanity back into right standing with the Father. He died a horrible death on a rugged, lonely cross in order to reconcile us and free us from sin and death. He took on humanity to become our elder brother, and to overcome everything that our humanity was subjected unto by the design of God. Because of him, we now have access to the treasures of the Father. He made us to be joint heirs of his inheritance, signing over to us all that the Father has given to him, signed and sealed by his own divine blood. No man can ever disannul our part in his great salvation, as he is our kinsman redeemer, having made us bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. We are not mere followers of Jesus, we are his genetic counterpart. He bears the DNA of the Father, and through him we also bear that divine nuclear attribute. It is only through him that we have this familial connection, as he has the genetic code by which we gain access to that divine attribute. Without Jesus, we are only human. If we deny Jesus, we deny our part in the divine lineage of Almighty God. Jesus is the bloodline by which we are made partakers of the divine nature. He is not merely a teacher or master, one of many that have become religious icons, but he is the gateway into the glorious substance of the Father. Some would have us believe that there is more than one way to God, and that Jesus is only one of many ways to enter into the graces of God. Some even tell us that Jesus never existed, that there is no evidence of a historical Jesus, and that he was only a fictional character made up by a religious sect in order to gain control over people's lives. There has always been an agenda throughout the past two millenniums to discredit Jesus and to try to remove him from the consciousness of mankind. Jesus is without a doubt the most reviled spiritual figure in the history of the world, enduring constant blasphemous attacks against his teachings and his lordship that no other religious figure has ever had to experience. Today, Jesus can be lampooned by every diabolical buffoon that wants to try to destroy his character and ministry by any means they desire. He has been made fun of in movies, in literature, in comedy routines, on television, in cartoons, and more. However, don't anyone dare to do the same to Muhammad or Buddha or Brahma or any other god that people follow. We know that the reason for this unbalanced attack against all things concerning Jesus is because the spirit of Antichrist is in the world, seeking to defame and replace the true Jesus with an alternative Christ, which many have now termed simply a Christ, which is a generic term that seeks to remove the name of Jesus from any conscious thought concerning the spiritual journey into God. By removing Jesus from this spiritual equation, they think that they can now enter into the fullness of God through their own self-made Christ, which appeals to those that want all of the benefits of knowing God without knowing His Son, Jesus, the Christ of God. It is a fool's errand, a New Age agenda that has found a foothold in the ranks of sonship and kingdom groups. When Charlotte and I first started seeing the kingdom message, there were always those that would come into our meetings that tried to pervert the message of the kingdom of God by discrediting Jesus through a methodology of making him less than what the scriptures declare him to be. In the past, it was always a subtle, serpentine maneuvering of double entendres and shadowy terms that were meant to implant their seed of subversion in the minds of the young and naive believers that were in our midst. At that time, it was so amateurish in its presentation that it posed little threat to us that were grounded and rooted in the truth. However, as time has passed, there is now a true agenda at hand, one which is very slick and bold when it comes to speaking against the Lordship of Jesus. It has become bold by reason of the acceptance of such drivel by those very ones that should know better, but have become lukewarm and apathetic when it comes to defending the faith that has been delivered to us by God. Today, there are no watchmen on the walls, no standard to be raised, no plumb line in the hands of the ministry to keep the way of life. Jesus is not fashionable in today's world, being relegated to a caricature of outdated symbolism. Jesus isn't seen as relevant anymore, being cast as something for the religious crowds to believe in, but not the modern, socially involved, contemporary free thinkers that seem to be filling the ranks of non-believers. It has become trendy to be accepting of everything and anything that smacks of rebellion toward the reign and rule of Jesus Christ. The Jesus agenda is alive and well under the guidance of the spirit of delusion that has captivated this present generation. This agenda seeks to blur all the lines of truth until there is no longer a contrast between good and evil, right and wrong, truth and error, Christ and Antichrist. I have heard a subtle indifference begin to creep into the message that is coming from those that are ministering sound good truths, which sound good to the ego of man and makes everyone feel better about themselves. I have heard that we shouldn't see both good and evil anymore, that everything is good and evil is an illusion. I have heard that we are all Christ, equal to Jesus, and maybe even a little greater than Jesus. I have heard that the concept of sin and a sin nature is nothing more than a lie perpetrated by some religious Jewish zealots. Taken at face value, if such a thing were true, then we never did sin, and we never did need a Savior for our sin, which means that Jesus never did die for our sins, but was only a good man that was killed by Jews a long time ago. I have heard that we can bypass Jesus into the Father, that Jesus isn't the door at all, but there is no difference between us and Jesus. I have heard many other statements expressed that are even more antichrist in nature that have been tolerated by those that call themselves kingdom. And this apathy has given these type of mindsets equal footing with the true kingdom message. Will the real Jesus please stand up? Inexplicably, those that try to convince others that Jesus is not a historical person, but a mythical character made up by religious zealots, still quote what Jesus says in the scriptures. Even though they tell us that the scriptures are not inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Of course, the only reason they quote the scriptures or even mention Jesus is to gain the trust of those that they are trying to deceive regarding the lordship of Jesus. The Jesus they are mentioning is not the Jesus that the scriptures describe. In the 1960s, there was a television program titled To Tell the Truth. The show consisted of a panel of celebrities that were presented with three or four individuals that all claimed to be a certain person. Only one of them was a true person, and the others were imposters. The panel was given a limited amount of questions to ask of the contestants and then try to guess which one is the real person. When the time to reveal who was the true individual, the host would say, "Would the real," whatever name they went by, "please stand up?" I feel like we are in that same scenario today, with so many counterfeit imposters being presented to us by those that claim to have the true message regarding Jesus. With so many muddied concepts being presented to us, it begs the question to be asked, would the real Jesus please stand up? I believe this is a vital truth for all of us that are being gathered into Jesus Christ at the sounding of the trumpets of God. The gathering is in Him. Without Jesus, there is no Christ. You cannot remove Jesus from your consciousness and still think that you are the Christ. The ego of self is one of the great deceptions in the midst of God's people today. And that goes beyond just hardcore New Agers. The institutionalized church system also preaches another Jesus that is just as deceptive as the cosmic Christ message of the New Age movement. Their Jesus is one filled with revenge and judgment, coming back to earth to set things right and bringing utter destruction and eternal damnation to all that have not been following His teachings. Their Jesus is away somewhere in outer space, waiting to come back to earth to set up His kingdom. Each branch of Christian denominations has their own brand of Jesus, and they are all planning on having their own personal mansion right next door to His. It is time to reveal the true Lord Jesus Christ, and He will indeed be standing up in the hearts of His first fruit company of sons as He brings down the kingdoms of men and establishes the kingdom of God in all mankind. It is to this end that we are being called into this special place in Christ. We are being called into this place to be changed and transformed, cleansed and purified, made whole and complete in Jesus Christ. It is not our mission to change everyone's mind about the real Jesus. Our calling is not to the world and to change the church world's mindset. That is the Father's business. We are called to speak to the elect, the chosen of the Lord, the lively stones of His choosing, the vessels of Christ that have been preordained and predestinated to hear such a word. It is not my concern to try to convince those that are ministering such New Age abominations to change their message and renounce their ways. My mission is to blow the trumpet into the hearts and mind of those that are called to a higher purpose in God, who are being drawn aside from their first love and are being delayed by reason of this flirtatious affair with such false teachings. Do not think that this is just some kind of rant from an intolerant preacher that wants to stir up trouble. I am speaking to those that know better than to allow these elements of soulish desires to captivate your mind with such dark and deadly concepts. Let others go and do what they want to do. But for you that are chosen of the Lord, it is not child's play, it is your very life. It seems that a large amount of saints do not feel that this is a serious matter to see the pattern son, Jesus Christ, be thrown aside. Some may think that I am just beating an old drum, not really in tune with the present viewpoint of God and how he deals with mankind. I am amazed at how many today are even questioning whether God exists or whether Jesus and the Holy Scriptures are nothing more than made-up stories. Even scholars, both in today's world and also in the early church, are questioning whether the miracles listed in the Scriptures actually took place or whether they were just allegorical. I hear so many on the social media sites asking questions like, how do we know God is real? Or how do we know the events in the Bible actually took place? Show me evidence that God is real. Faith is something foreign to these that are so earthly minded and full of cynicism and doubt. They are searching for an answer to their questions, but they don't understand the role faith plays in finding that which they are seeking after. They want a sign, an outward demonstration that God exists and that he is truly their father. But an evil and adulterous generation seeks after signs and proofs concerning God and his plan for creation. The natural mind cannot receive the things of God. God is not something that you can put in a bottle or take a sample of and study under a microscope. He is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The fact of the matter is that many of those that are now teaching New Age concepts had their beginnings in Jesus, and at one time had a relationship with the Son of God as their Lord and Savior. I would have to think that it was a very shallow relationship to be drawn off into such deception at this time of their life. But at that original encounter, they knew Jesus as Lord. I myself could never deny him simply because he is more than a religious figure to me. I know him personally and intimately. It was at the age of 15, on the fifth day of September, 1965, when I walked into a little Pentecostal church in Ecorse, Michigan, and had a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. I wasn't indoctrinated before I met him. This was the very first church I had ever walked into. The preacher was an old-fashioned Pentecostal minister that preached with his dentures in his pocket. I couldn't understand a word he was saying. I didn't hear the gospel or the message of the church, but I did have an extraordinary encounter with Jesus that night, at which I felt a physical weight drop off of my chest that I did not even know was present until it left. For the first time in my young life, I felt light and free, and I knew I would never be the same again. It was Jesus, not the preacher or the church, that washed me in the regenerative blood of the Lamb. It was Jesus himself. It wasn't Buddha or Muhammad or any other religious figure that changed my heart. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As I have called upon His name throughout the years, I have been healed, restored, baptized in the Spirit, seen Him perform miracles, wept, and cried as His presence wrapped itself around me. Witnessed the same events in others, and all of this has given me all the proof I need that Jesus is indeed who He said He was. The same Spirit that raised Him from the dead moved through the early church in signs and wonders, brought kings to their knees, and caused kingdoms to give Him allegiance, has been upon me all the days that I have served Him. He is my Lord, my King, my friend, my closest confidant. He has moved for me in ways that most of you may find unbelievable. Not mere religion, dear folks. I am talking about a walk of life and a relationship that even now continues to grow ever more real and sacred. If someone did indeed try to make up a religious figure for political and religious agendas so many years ago, it is beyond the realm of sanity to think that such a fictional character could bring the world to acknowledge such a figure. Time stood still in the eyes of the world, and the whole world views history as having took place either before the death of Jesus Christ or after the death of Jesus Christ. Yet, there are today nincompoops in our midst that still try to convince the ignorant and naive that Jesus was nothing more than a myth. Silly wabbits. Their hearts are like empty sepulchers, and the spirit of the Antichrist is entrenched within the psyche of their minds, using them like puppets that are attached to the strings of a master puppeteer, speaking without shame or any sense of godly reverence. They are counterfeits, imposters, false teachers, serpents operating out of the ancient spirit of deception and sleight of hand. They speak of themselves as gods, false Christs, purveyors of a higher consciousness, truth seekers, enlightened masters, but they are nothing but clouds without rain, actors playing a part, speaking of things that they have not attained unto. For all the self-glorification that the New Age message spouts forth, none of the individuals that speak of such mysterious secrets of enlightenment even remotely resemble such a reality. They are just men and women, like any other earthly creature that ever walked the earth. There is no glory to be found in them, no life-giving spirit, no glorious illumination, only words that appeal to the soulish realm of the mind. Their message has the sound of dry leaves crackling and crumbling to pieces when handled. It is an empty message, because it has removed Jesus from its content. It is all about the glory of the fleshly mind, self-glorification, the deity of self, trying to be God through words that fall out of their mouth like maggots, rotten and vile. Too strong for you? I pray the Lord Jesus will open your eyes to the magnitude of deception that is being celebrated right now in the midst of the sons of God. It is time to cut off the house of flesh from the midst of us and to cleanse the heavens. The trumpet is sounding, and it is sounding in a clear voice that is bringing judgment to all the elect as we gather unto the Lord Jesus Christ. The following quote is from one of the most anointed writers of our time. J. Preston Eby has long held in the spirit for the pure word of the kingdom of God, to be heard in the earth. And in this portion of his series on the book of Revelation, he makes such a clear distinction between truth and error concerning Jesus Christ that I am compelled to share it with you. I pray it will strike your heart as it did mine. It is from the series, From the Candlestick to the Throne, Part 3, The Revelation of Jesus Christ. The begin of quote. The revelation of which Christ. We speak too carelessly of the deep and sacred things of God. One of the greatest truths ever kept hidden from the eyes of men is the truth about the revelation of Jesus Christ. I must hastily add, the revelation is not the revelation of Jesus. Neither is it the revelation of Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Although Jesus and Christ are forever one and inseparable, yet there are distinct revelations and manifestations of each one. Jesus simply means Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Yahshua. Yahweh is salvation. For he shall save his people from their sins. Book of Matthew, 1st chapter, verse 21. This was the word of the angel Gabriel to Mary. The name Jesus reveals his saviorship. Jesus asked his disciples one day, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Book of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. The disciples knew that they had been walking, talking, and eating with Jesus from Nazareth. But it took a revelation of the Spirit for them to see that this same Jesus of Nazareth was also the Christ, the Son of the living God. When Jesus was born, heavenly angels announced his birth to the startled shepherds, saying, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Book of Luke, 2nd chapter, 11th verse. You see, despite the fact that a large percentage of present-day believers frequently use the word Christ to refer to the Lord Jesus, very few people even know what the word means, much less understand the message behind it. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is not an English word. It is a Greek word. Why translators have neglected to translate it for so many years, I don't know. But because they did not translate it, but merely brought it over into the English virtually in its Greek form, generations of Christians have missed out on its great meaning and significance. For hundreds of years, Western believers have ignorantly used the word Christ merely as a religious title. The plain truth is the word Christ means anointed. Although we generally think of the word anointed in a spiritual context, the word in and of itself isn't spiritual. Anointed simply means to pour over, smear on, and rub into. When you go to the beach, you anoint yourself with suntan lotion. So there's nothing particularly special about the generic word anoint. But when you begin to talk about Jesus being the Christ, the one who has been sent by God and anointed with God's reconciling, quickening, saving, transforming power, the word becomes very, very special. It takes on great significance, not just because it's some kind of mystical religious term, but because of the powerful, practical nature of what the anointing of God is and can do. Christ is a transliteration of the Greek word Christos, which means simply one anointed with holy oil. The Hebrew Mashiach, from which we get our word Messiah, has the same meaning as the Greek word Christos, which is the anointed. It comes from a root word which simply means to smear or rub with oil. The first time we meet with holy oil in the scriptures is in the narrative of Jacob's experience at Bethel. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place." And Jacob took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And from that memorable morning, all throughout the Old Testament, wherever there was a spot of common earth to be separated unto God and consecrated, or a common object to be dedicated to holy use, or a common man to be set apart and sanctified as a priest, or a sovereign to be enthroned and crowned, Jacob's holy oil was always employed for that sacred purpose. Holy oil became one of the most impressive and important, as well as one of the most universal, of all the sacramental signs and seals in the Old Testament economy. It continued to be so till all consecration and all sacrifice and all priesthood and all sovereignty came to their consummation in Jesus, the Christ of God, the anointed of Yahweh. And thus it is that his Old Testament name, the Messiah, and his New Testament name, the Christ, and his English name, the Anointed One, contain and convey to us the whole heavenly history of his election from everlasting, his predestination, his incarnation, his calling, his consecration, and his complete equipment in every way for all the position and ministry and glory and dominion he now fills as the Son of God. When our Lord first announced himself to Israel, he opened the book of Isaiah and found the place where it was written of him, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." This, then, is the true Messiah, the true Christ, the true anointed, the Christ of God. Even as Peter opened his mouth and began to preach Christ to Cornelius and to all of his house in these very words, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And this is how this great name, the Christ, came to be given to the man Jesus of Nazareth above all other men. Almighty God took that chosen man and anointed him, as man had never been before, with the Holy Ghost. That is to say, God filled the man Jesus of Nazareth as full as human nature could hold of the mind and the spirit and the grace and the glory and the power of the divine nature. And having so anointed him, God then presented him to Israel, and through Israel to the whole world, as the Son of God in human flesh. Some say that Christ is the anointing, but that is not quite the truth. Jesus, the Christ, is the anointed one. And Christ is the one anointed, not the anointing. The oil typifies the anointing, But the one upon whom the Christ was poured was the anointed. Others teach that Jesus had the Christ, or that the Christ was in Jesus. Those terms are foreign to Scripture and make no sense whatsoever. The Christ is not something that came upon Jesus or that dwelt in Jesus. The Christ is who and what Jesus was and is. Thou art the Christ. Matthew 16:16. God has made this same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Acts 2:36. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. 1 John 5:1. Jesus was not the oil. He was the prophet, priest, and king upon whom the oil was poured. He is not the anointing. He is the anointed. While we rejoice in the wonderful fact that Jesus is the Christ, the deeper truth is that as Jesus is the anointed, or the Christ, even so are we. Contrary to popular teaching, Christ is not only the one man, Jesus, not merely one person, but many. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12. In union with Jesus Christ, the anointing which made Jesus the Christ now makes you and me the Christ. It is because the anointed is in us, and we are in him. We have received of his anointing. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and ye shall abide in him. 1 John 2:27. According to this passage, the anointing which we have received from him has now become our anointing, because we abide or dwell in him. Jesus Christ is the anointed one, and we are members of his body. Therefore, we are in the anointed one and share his anointing. It is not Christ as the anointing that makes us the anointed. It is our participation in the very substance of Christ, the anointed one, that makes us anointed. He is not our anointing. The anointing which he received from the Father is now also our anointing. The spirit of sonship from God is the holy oil. And Jesus Christ is the head that was first anointed with that oil. Many do not understand this simple truth. Therefore, they try to separate Christ from Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Christ, is the head of this body and the very life and reality of this body which we are. The same anointing that is poured upon the head, Christ, flows all the way down to the feet of the Christ body, so that every member of the body is anointed with the same anointing as the head. The head is not the anointing. The head is the anointed. And as members of his body, we have received from him the same anointing. It is impossible to separate Jesus from the Christ, or Christ from Jesus Christ, just as it is impossible to separate ourselves from the Christ of God. When we are truly apprehended of the Father as sons of God, in the same family and order as Jesus, we receive the same spirit of sonship from the Father, which is the anointing that makes us the anointed son. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this truth to our hearts. The Father from whom issues the Spirit of sonship must reveal it within ourselves by the Spirit. It is the Spirit that searches out the mysteries of the kingdom of God and all the deep things of God. And that same Spirit must reveal these truths to His apprehended ones. As I write these lines and make a feeble attempt to set forth to the Lord's precious elect what I see in the Spirit, I sense the presence and power of the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. There is no point in overemphasizing this fact, but we want to clearly establish the truth that Christ is not something Jesus possessed. It is who and what He is. It is not Christ as something or someone separate from Jesus that we have received, and in whom we live, but it is Jesus Christ who is our very own reality. Let us note but a few of the many passages that make this truth plain. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Romans 6:3. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14. Unto them which are sanctified in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:2. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? 2 Corinthians 13:5. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. And hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:6. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. Christ means the anointed. It will be very helpful if in every place in the New Testament where the word Christ appears, we would read it with the understanding that it means the anointed or the anointed one. Anointed with the Spirit of sonship, we shall overcome in every area, triumphing gloriously in every situation, and will come forth in His victory over all things. Our lives have been foreordained by the Father to walk this path unto sonship. It is a path that was predestined for us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This path was established in Christ for all who are apprehended of the Father to the glory of manifest sonship. It is not Christ as something other than Jesus that energizes us, but it is the risen, ascended, glorified, spiritualized, and universalized Jesus Christ who is the genetics of our very own sonship. Therefore, we are assured that we shall be able to attain to the same fullness of sonship as it is fulfilled in our Lord Jesus the Christ. What a word! What a hope! Hallelujah! With this exhortation fresh upon our minds, let us think a little further about the book of Revelation as the revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, I say, it is not simply the revelation of Jesus, nor is it merely the revelation of Christ. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, nothing more and nothing less. There is another Jesus and another Christ that is proclaimed today by the New Age movement, and the concept of some who call themselves kingdom people and sons of God is not far removed from this other Jesus and this other Christ. The New Age terminology can be mistakenly taken for kingdom truth. They speak much of the kingdom of God within man, of Christ within man, of love, mercy, goodness, and spiritual perfection and oneness with God. The ancient serpent is wise, shrewd, crafty, and subtle, and he knows that the most effectual way to instill error into the minds of the unwary is to use old and precious words and put a new meaning into them. So when his messengers, masquerading as ministers of righteousness, seek to lead, if possible, the very elect astray, they use the old precious words, but put an entirely different and false meaning. When they talk about God and our Heavenly Father, they don't mean the God of the Bible, the personal God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. They mean the impersonal energy that is resident in all things animate and inanimate. They talk of atonement, but they do not mean at all the redemptive death of Jesus Christ on our behalf, by which we are reconciled to God by his blood. They mean the at-one-ment, in which we recognize our oneness with all things, a cosmic unity, not with the Creator, but within ourselves and with the creation. Jesus has nothing to do with it at all, except as a great teacher, a way shower, revealing to us the divine potential inherent in every man. They believe there are many ways to God. Jesus is merely a way given to Christians, one of many ways to God. What do the New Age people look to for salvation? A complete or perfect union with this inexorable principle or divine energy permeating all things, which is their God. It is the same thing as Nirvana of the Buddhist, Brahma of the Hindu, an imaginary God consciousness into which all will finally be absorbed. And this is attained by discovering and developing your inner self, which inner self is the corrupted soul rather than the regenerated spirit. And when they talk about Christ, they do not mean at all our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the actual historic Jesus who lived and died for us, who rose from the dead, ascended up to the right hand of God, and came back again in mighty spirit power. Oh no, they mean an ideal Christ or a Christ principle that is in every man. They mean the inner self of the soul. They see God as the life principle of every man, and Christ is the name that is given to man once he has awakened to his godhood. Now it is true that the seed of God is in every man, but no man is Christ, that is, an anointed one, until the seed of God in him is quickened, germinated, and empowered by the infusion of God's Holy Spirit. Jesus, in the New Age view, was no more the Son of God than the drunk in the gutter. He was simply a good man, a highly developed man, a master spirit who developed the Christ principle within him and showed men how to awaken to their true inner self. According to their teaching, Jesus was a man who went through many incarnations. These incarnations of Jesus took the form of Confucius, Buddha, Moses, David, and many others. These lives were his days at school, and he arrived at a state of consciousness while manifesting as Jesus of Nazareth, where he remembered his past lives. They see no need for Jesus as the Lamb slain for redemption, justification, regeneration, new birth, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Spirit, or any other New Testament experience. Men don't need to be saved, reconciled to God, or cleansed by the washing of regeneration. Just awakened to the God within. What the New Age movement has done in America and other Western nations is to combine Christian terminology with the tenets of various Eastern religions, wrapping them all up in a new package and put a label on the package which guarantees everyone's salvation without a savior. And what some in this kingdom walk have done is create their own hybrid strain of sonship, speaking kingdom truth, deadly laced with pagan New Age concepts. The New Age movement is a modern form of Eastern pagan religion, mingled with the darkness of the occult. While they do espouse some principles that contain truth, these are at best but half-truths, which are more deadly than the outright lie. All true reality of the living Jesus Christ is missing. They know not the Lord Jesus as Savior, nor the cleansing power of His blood, nor the quickening, regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, nor the authority of His name, nor the baptism in His Spirit, nor the fellowship of His body, nor the truth of the Holy Scriptures. In short, they are at best bastard sons, subtle counterfeits, and there is no light in them, for the light they do have is darkness, merely their own supposed inherent godhood, unquickened and unregenerated, which is the godhood of the self, old Adam, not the true and living God. This inner self of all men is the cosmic Christ of the New Age. The book of Revelation is not the revelation of this cosmic Christ, nor of a Christ principle, nor of the old inner self of unregenerated men. It is the revelation of the crucified, risen, ascended, glorified, spiritualized, universalized Jesus Christ, who is Savior of all men and Lord of all. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ as head and body in the earth by the power of the Spirit of His Sonship. Remember, dear ones, that there is no truth beyond Jesus Christ. He has been given the name, which is above every name in the heavens and in the earth. To Him has been given all power and all authority in heaven and in earth. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. He is the head of all principality and power. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the mighty God and the everlasting Father. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We are the body in which His fullness is revealed. Those who seek an ultimate truth beyond Jesus Christ, an ultimate reality beyond Him, will discover, to their dreadful dismay, that they have taken a fearful detour into the realms of outer darkness. End of quote. It is time to shine the light on the darkness. Let us all guard our spirit and be sober in the day of the Lord. More to come. Written by Robert D. Tarangelo.